Hello and welcome to a summer edition of Basketball. I'm Sean Woodley.
I'm Katie Heindel.
And today's show is not brought to you by anybody. It's a bit of a reprieve from our typical format of the podcast. We have lots of stuff from the last year plus of doing the podcast that we've decided to repurpose as we take a bit of a break ourselves from recording each week. And so we hope you enjoy some of these very wonderful segments. We don't know which segments they're going to be as we record it. So let's just guess, Katie, what do you think should be some of the segments?
What have been some greatest hits? I feel like we're going to get a... Did either Stan Van or did someone say this?
Yeah, did Stan Van say this, I think, is a pretty much a classic at this point.
That's coming out.
We got a new version of Sean Keane doing impressions as well. I know we replayed the first one around Christmas, but if it's we got a second version of that, so I bet that'll be in there.
Well, we have a live reading, like a NBA theater problem. Maybe we might. We might.
Oh, yeah. We did the Halloween episode. Maybe we'll air the Halloween episode, the Ben Simmons swamp creature one. Yeah.
We could also be wrong about all of this.
Yeah, there's a very good chance that our wonderful producer Dylan has already decided which segments we'll be airing, and we've totally gotten it wrong. But, you know, maybe we'll be right. who's to say? Oh, I bet the one that will get used is where we tried to compare NBA teams to 80s bangers with such
one.
Classics.
Yeah. Like,
I forget the songs we use, but I feel like Beds Are Burning was in there. The title of the podcast was Bens Are Burning, so I think that was about Ben Simmons and also 80s songs. Either way, Katie, I hope your summer is going well. Is it going well this is aired on the second week of August? How's Summer League going? You've already been there for 4 days at this point. How's it going?
I hope it's going well.
Awesome. And then how's it going for the week after that? Because that this could also be airing then as well.
I hope it's all going well.
Yeah, I'm going to guess August was pretty tight. That's, I think, going to be the blanket statement. All right, without further ado, let's get to it. Some of our very classic segments that you're going to hear, not just this week, but in future weeks as well. You'll probably hear this very, very clunky opening as well. It's difficult to do an opening for a show that you don't know what the content is going to be, as it turns out. But we love you. Thank you so much for being our supporters. Thank you for being cool with us, taking a little bit of a break as we play the hits from Basketball? All right, Katie, we have reached the segment we're trying out this week, and it is a returning segment. Name that tune/team. If you recall, this was an exercise we did a few months back featuring 80s bangers where we each picked three songs secretly to play for our co-host. And once the song was played, the other person had to name a team that most embodies that song. It could be a team that is current. It could be the overarching energy of a franchise from its beginning. It could be a specific year of a team. There's a lot of interpretation to be done, but the general concept, I think, is understood by most people. And so let's dive into it, Katie. You have a song for me that we'll start off with. I guess we can just go with it and let Dylan take over.
Please. Take it away, Christmas Maestro.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is you.
Yes.
Hell yeah. Good start.
It's really hard. Yeah, when to know one, where to start and where to stop with that song.
You don't stop is the thing.
That's
we do
true,
for legal reasons, but in a in a regular context, you just let it rip. So my answer to this one, what team this is the Houston Rockets. And in this instance, the you that the singer wants, first of all, it's Tillman Fertitta singing this song. And what the U is the team to be under the luxury tax. That's all he wants for Christmas is you. And the U, again, is a team that is cheap and not costing him extra money. I think that's my answer. Is that what you were expecting? Is that a good answer? Do you have a different answer?
I wanted a Despo, like a Despo answer. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. That,
all right,
that,
perfect. As Despo as it gets.
Yes.
Knocked it out of the park. All right. Dylan, I have my first song for Katie. Take it away.
Well, the party's over, kid. Because I got a bullet in my gun.
A bullet in your what?
Are you aware of what this song is, Katie?
Is this the Killers doing a weird Christmas song?
Don't Shoot Me, Santa. Bye.
That was hell. What a low after such a gorgeous high to start on, you know?
Oh, look, I like a lot of Christmas songs that are not well liked by others. Let's put it that way.
Okay, great. This is going to be a thrill ride. I feel like because wasn't Brandon Flowers a Mormon?
Yes, I believe so.
So I think this got to be the jazz to me. And this is kind of like the League, or if not, Donovan Mitchell pleading with Rudy Gobert not to pull any stupid pandemic antics this season.
Hell yeah. The Santa in this song is COVID itself. I like it. I guess it's Rudy Gobert, the bringer of festive goodness and coronavirus infections. That's as good an answer as I could have hoped for that one. I'm sorry. I think my other two are better than that. Maybe. We'll see.
Right, we'll see.
I have a feeling you have. Would I be wrong to suggest that maybe you have more sort of regularly rotated Christmas songs on your list than the Killers one?
I mean, you're gonna have to sit back and wait and see, my friend.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything. What am I? I'm not some sort of gift peeker. All right. Let's get Katie's second song. Yeah.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
Guess.
Ooh, yeah.
Two things. Yeah. First, every time I hear Feliz Navidad, I cry.
Okay. Are you crying right now?
Public, I started to choke up. When he gets to the part where he's like, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and his voice kind of breaks. It's so sincere. Mm-hmm. Ooh, it takes me out. Two, there's like a newer version recorded of this song by Jose. Oh, it's Jose Perón, I think. It sounds a little bit different because his voice has matured. So I wanted the original version for this exercise, but the only place I could find it was in an hour It was in a YouTube where the song was looped for 1 hour, but I would be fine listening to that. Anyway, yeah. Take it away.
Yeah. So my answer to this is this year's Minnesota Timberwolves. My reasoning for that is this is a song that can brighten up any room. Things can be dour, sad. The mood can be down. You could be the ultimate Scrooge. But if that song comes on, you're feeling the spirit. You're in. You're happy. And this Minnesota Timberwolves team for years has been sad. They've been screamed at by the Grinch in Jimmy Butler, who's now had his heart grow 3 sizes. So he's good now. But in the past, he was mean. And they've just been in a bad kind of way. Sad, upsetting feelings for many, many years. But they got Ricky Rubio back now. And Ricky Rubio, of course, is Spain's foremost dude with a beard and a nice face, happy face, all that stuff. And I think him with the infusion into this team is going to be like playing Feliz Navidad in a sad room of anti-Christmas spirit. And plus, you also have Juancho Hernan Gomez on this team to add to the Spanish flair as well. So the Minnesota Timberwolves are Feliz Navidad.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Excellent. Excellent. We're just nailing it so far. Halfway through, would you now play Dylan, producer Dylan, the wonderful, wonderful Dylan, would you play my second song for Katie?
It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas.
A cup of kindness that we share with another, a sweet reunion with a friend or a brother.
In all the places you find love, it feels like Christmas.
It is the season of the heart, a special time of caring. The ways of love make clear.
It is the season of the spirit. The message if we hear it is make it last all year.
Oh. So that is Feels Like Christmas from A Muppet Christmas Carol, my favorite Christmas movie, the best edition of A Christmas Carol in any pop culture.
That's
Katie,
a classic.
Are you familiar?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's so good. And what team sums up Feels Like Christmas by The Ghost of Christmas Present and Friends?
Yeah, this is tough because like to me, it's split between the loci and where they currently reside. Mostly because of the, I'm sure they're huge fans of this film. Whether or not, maybe they were early Jim Henson supporters before Disney took over, but in whatever the case. I might have to lean more towards the Wizards, though.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like I can just picture Robin blasting this in the locker room for some reason. I don't know. Just like kind of in a say anything style with like a boombox over his head. And like really demanding that the team get into the, like a child's Christmas spirit of Christmas.
Right.
Much like the child ghost in this movie that creeps me right out.
Oh my God. Absolutely terrifying.
For like a family film, the ghosts in The Muppet Christmas Carol are pretty scary. I have to say.
I mean, Ghost of Christmas Present is nice and big and jovial.
Right.
Yeah, but the other ones are
haunting. The death one? Get out of here.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Also, I feel like Rui, because Christmas is not such a big deal in Japan. Christmas Eve is more of a big deal because you eat fried chicken. But like the kind of like Disneyfication and like ambiance of Christmas is a big deal. So I wonder if Rui Hachimura is a Muppets fan.
And right.
I think he's too young for like to have caught this obviously on the first go around. But if you told him about it. Oh, also, I completely, totally forgot about Mo Wagner, who is German, and they're such Christmas freaks. So,
Yeah,
I think it's the Wizards for me.
I think that's a really great call. I would also say that it seems as though the arrival of Russell Westbrook and the moving on from John Wall has really sort of reinvigorated the feelings of love within that franchise.
Yes.
It just seems like things had gotten a little bit stale, and now everyone's just happy and ready to to share the ball and score a bunch of buckets. And the upbeat nature of that song, I think, matches how the Wizards are feeling going into the season. Great pick, Katie. We, again, are 4 for 4. We're just killing it.
So it's my last song now.
Yeah.
Let's see who you pin on this one. A little curveball for you.
Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight. Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight. Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight. I'll wear a Santa and a sleigh and tell her why is it always this way.
Hell yeah.
The best part of that song is where they're deeply concerned about where all the reindeer are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Where's Blitzen?
Where the Ramones, I should say, yeah. Where the Ramones are very concerned about where the reindeer are.
I frankly understand and match the concern. This is a tough one. You want a team that is maybe got some sort of internal strife, but they want to put those concerns behind them in order to move forward together. Maybe it's the Clippers after last year and the sort of discord between like Patrick Beverley and Lou Williams and the new guys and the lack of sort of fair treatment between superstars and normies on that team. And maybe that's, you know, we saw them win last night close to Christmas. They're feeling good. They seem like they're energized this year. It seems like they're going to really commit themselves to trying hard. Serge Ibaka's on that team now to work as like a bit of a mediator between the two sides. I wonder if the Clippers don't want to fight this Christmas and if they are the answer.
Yeah, I think it could be Clippers. A part of me also just thought of the like either New York franchise, mostly because of the Ramones. But the Knicks are like, they're hopeless. I don't even know that there's a lot of infighting. It's just like the team fighting with the higher powers.
Right,
just
right.
Damning them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought this song, I was predicting, I thought you were going to do Fairy Tale in New York by the Pogues.
God, no.
Yeah, I thought that was easily going to be like James Dolan and his team and the argument between them. But I think this works for the West Coast version. Also a punk band, so that's cool. Are you not a Fairy Tale New York fan?
I mean, I hear it every Christmas multiple times because of my partner.
Does he like it a lot?
Yeah, Dylan loves it. It's like, it was his like Christmas song growing up, which I find once very funny and also like kind of intimidating. Because it's a very depressing song. By a very depressing band.
Yeah. I like depressing Christmas songs. I have an entire depressing Christmas song playlist that I've made for myself. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it now, but I like it more because it reminds me of someone's like Christmas experience who
I love.
You know?
All right. Well, my last song is not Fairy Tale of New York. It is, however, this.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. I don't think Santa Claus will mind you. He won't have to use our dirty chimney flue. Just bring him through the front door. That's the easy thing to do. I can
A beloved song, a creepy song, a strange song. Yeah.
What team is this, Katie?
This is tough. This is kind of tricky. Because a part of me is like, all right, is it a team who has kind of outsized seasonal expectations? Or is it more literal, a team who wants to be gigantic? So... For the latter, I think it's the Lakers.
Okay.
no longer satisfied with the humongousness that they had last season, and just wanting to get bigger and bigger. And then for expectations wise, this is tougher.
Yeah, I don't think there are any teams that have like unreasonable ambitions.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. The kind of like boring trade-off of a lot of parity and a lot of teams like being very balanced this season is no one is like, it's gonna be us, and then you're like, what are you talking about? Like, it could very well be anybody, you know. And this team is, I mean, this song is far too whimsical for the Heat,
right?
Though I can picture Jimmy Butler listening to this alone and like lip syncing to it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Dude, I'm stunned.
Wow, I did it. Can I offer a couple suggestions, maybe?
Sure.
Okay. In terms of the size thing, I think that's a good reading of it. And in addition to the Lakers, I might throw the Pistons in there. And the singer in this instance is Troy Weaver, because he would love a hippopotamus to be his fifth center in a lineup. You know, like, give me that. Only hippopotamus will do, because Isaiah Stewart is not big enough to really give me the big man qualities I want. In terms of teams with like weird outsized ambitions, maybe the Sixers. Does that line up? I don't know. Maybe their ambitions are reasonable. I have no idea, but they have.
I think they've got reasonable ambitions. Yeah, it's. I think it's tied. The Pistons is a very apt choice. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, it's like Lakers Pistons.
All right, right on. The NBA is changing, and Big Ball is coming back in the form of hippopotami. That brings us to the end of Name That Tune / Team.
That such like the goofiest Christmas song could lead us to the most rational discussion of basketball we've probably ever had.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the magic of Christmas. It's a Christmas miracle, frankly. In the next segment, we are going to do a segment we're trying out this week and bring back an old favorite. We're playing Name That Tune / Team. And this time around, it's the This League Is On Fire edition, where we're choosing songs all about things that are burning down and or on fire. That's coming up in just 1 second. All right, we've reached the segment we're trying out this week here on Basketball, and we're bringing back an old fave, as we've said, Name That Tune / Team, which we've done. 80s bangers, I believe, was a category we've done in the past. I can't remember the other category, but this is, I believe, the third time we brought this segment to the podcast. And as teased before, as the league burns around us, we are doing a This League Is On Fire edition of Name That Tune / Team. Katie and I have each selected three songs that have something to do with things being on fire and or burning. And the other person, once hearing the song, is going to have to assign a current NBA team to that song because the thematics line up or whatever. Katie, are you ready to dive on in?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's fire up my first song. Producer Dylan, take it away. Canada Zone, Nickelback, Burn It to the Ground. Katie, do you like this song, first of all?
I've never heard this song in my life.
You've never heard Burn It to the Ground by Nickelback?
No, dude.
If you recall, at the 2010 Vancouver Olympics, as a symbol of all the arts and culture that Canada has to offer, Nickelback played that song at the opening ceremonies. It's real bad. Do you? Let's find the lyrics of that chorus here. We're going off tonight to kick out every light, take anything we want, drink everything in sight. We're going till the world stops turning while we burn it to the ground tonight. It's mostly a song about getting shit-faced. Katie.
Why'd they do that at the Olympic ceremony?
Because Canada is a herb-ass country, man. I don't know what to tell you. It is some Canada shit. what do you got for Burn It to the Ground by Nickelback? Which current NBA team?
No, you pick your song.
No, I pick the song, and then you have to assign the team. That's how this works, Katie.
Okay. Well, I don't know. So this is like a song about crooks and like
being okay with the thing, with everything burning down, I think is kind of the general vibe.
I guess the Mavs, but just because of Mark Cuban.
Yeah, yeah.
And his weird gambling addicted friend.
Yeah, I could see those two turning it up to some Nickelback. And, you know, maybe they're in the casino. This is playing while they're playing a little Texas Hold'em. Yeah, I think that's a good pick. They're like, Mark Cuban is very okay with the concept of his franchise burning down if his AI-liking friend can be in power. I think that's a good, good lining up of the themes here, Katie. Off to a rollicking start. What's your first song for me?
Classic Billy Joel story song that I just like, I can't help but choke up every time I hear it, even though he's just listing things. It's just a list. It's just a point form song. But I guess it makes me emotional.
Yeah.
We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel.
So to me, Katie, this feels not necessarily like a team, but more the leadership of the NBAPA. You know, this kind of goes right inside, right along with LeBron's. Like, LeBron might as well have just tweeted the lyrics to this song. You know, this is not a thing on us. This is the NBA's fault. This is the league's fault for forcing us to play 72 games. We didn't start the fire. We're just living in it and the world's turning. But maybe they're not exactly accepting their own culpability. The same as, you know, the millennial generation, any generation really blames other generations for their problems and never really does anything about it. Kind of feels LeBron-y to me. So this is not a team. It is the leadership of the NBAPA. How does that sound as a comparison?
That's fine. But I do take umbrage with you dissing millennials.
I'm not saying, look, Sean. Look, I know. I'm aware. I'm of the generation that complains about everything and does nothing to do it. I mean, I certainly don't do anything to fix it. I'm waiting on the children to fix everything. So maybe I'm speaking from just my own little perch here as a person who's just accepted that everything sucks. But, you know, you're one of the good ones, Katie. You're a good millennial. How about that? Got my next song ready to go here. Producer Dylan, fire it up. Ooh, what a joint.
Okay.
Beds Are Burning by Midnight Oil. You're a Midnight Oil person, right, Katie?
No. Like, what? That's the only song I know of theirs. Oh, okay. So I don't know that I classify myself as a Midnight Oil person.
Fair enough. I just, that song to me, it kind of is in line with like the Tarzan boys of the world, where I know you appreciate a certain kind of 80s bop. And so this song, I was actually fearful you might pick this song. So I don't believe you have, which is good. But what song do you think this most lines up with an NBA team, or what team most lines up with this song?
So to me, this kind of reads as like a bit, it's like a little bit whiny. Mm-hmm. So what do I think? This is tough because I don't necessarily want to assign any current team in the playoffs as whiners because they are up against impossible circumstances.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
But I'll just base this on his facial expressions and reactions alone. But Coach Bud, so I would assign this to the Bucks.
Ooh, I like that. I think that's pretty good. I was going to come with a suggestion if you were having trouble with the Philadelphia 76ers, mostly because Ben Simmons is Australian like Midnight Oil, and you could easily do a song right. called Ben's Are Burning. to sum up his fourth right. quarter performances, but the Bucks are also a pretty good one here as well. Katie, do you have another song for me?
Yeah, I do. I realized I didn't really throw to the last one.
Yeah, that's okay. I kind of didn't really tee up to you to throw. It's a sort of a double throw situation we got here, and I missed the first. The relay was not really completed, so glad we've got it this time.
Okay. Here's my second burning song.
Let it burn. When the feeling ain't the same in your body, don't want you. But you know, gotta let it go, cause the party ain't jumping like it used to.
Oh, no.
Even though that's not true.
Let it burn.
Usher, let Woo. It burn. Yeah. Actually, it's just called Burn, but...
An unbelievable song. A classic of grade six dances, for sure. One of the slow songs comes on. You timidly ask a girl to dance. Good memories there.
Which is so weird, considering what the song is yes. about, but yeah.
Yes. it is about like a breakup, right? Is that where we're going here? Is that the sort of general theme?
Not about, but it was like released around the time when it was like Usher ruined his own relationship.
Sure, sure.
Because he like cheated on someone and yeah. fathered a child and like lied about it. Yeah. This was like around, actually, I don't know if this was around the same time as Confessions Part 1 and 2, but I do feel like, you know, it's the same wheelhouse.
It's the same album. It is the same album. The album Confessions, of course. Which one is this off of? It is off of just, yeah, the first Confessions. I mean, let me tell you, as a 13-year-old person when this hit, boy, did this album really kind of resonate. Very glad that you played it here. So talking about a breakup, talking about sort of causing the discord within the ranks on your own, kind of being... hoisting yourself on your own petard, essentially. I'm trying to think if there's like an NBA team that's like kind of doing like a self-sabotage thing right now. That's kind of the thing I'm looking at. And maybe this is something to do with a star. It could be the Pelicans kind of sifting around looking for ways to make Zion Williamson happy and in the process kind of ruining the relationship as they go along. That could be it.
Aren't we picking playoff contenders for the most part?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I was kind of going for the general like present day just teams in the league, because more than just the teams in the playoffs have been making news the last couple days here, but we can keep it playoff specific if we want as well. In which case, boy, this is not easy, because you know, if we were on the track for a Giannis and Milwaukee breakup right now, I think that would be a good one, but we're not really on track for that at the moment. Just trying to think of, you know, relationships that are frayed in the league right now. And Zion is the one that I can think of. There's not really any star who's like pushing to get moved right now. I'm not saying Zion's pushing to get moved necessarily, but there's that. There's also, okay, here it is. It's Neil Olshay. He doesn't seem very self-aware that he's the reason for it all going wrong, but he very much is the reason for it going wrong. Maybe his confessions will come out soon and he'll have a great album that we can all remember in 20 years. So yeah, I'm going with the Blazers and Neil Olshay for Burn. Good, great song. What a song. Did you have a suggestion that I missed out on here?
No, that's a pretty good one.
Okay, good stuff. We'll go to my final song here. Dylan, take it away.
Somebody call 911. Shawty fire burning on the dance floor. Whoa, I gotta cool her down. She won't bring the room to ground on the dance floor.
Sean Kingston, Firebird. This segment's getting me hot. A little sweaty over here with all these fire songs. Katie, who do you got for the Fire Burning by Sean Kingston? A song, I think, about it burning and also being kind of happy about it.
Unfortunately, I just think about his jet ski accident, and then that just makes me think of Miami.
Mm. You could say that their first round was akin to a jet ski accident.
No, I don't mean like that. I just mean that's the associative.
Mm-hmm.
That's mean. I just mean like that's the associative line that my brain takes.
Sure.
But people probably, when this song came out, were listening to it on yachts.
Oh, yeah.
In clubs all over. But yeah, I'll stick with Miami.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. You know, they kind of live in a chaotic environment, right? Everything, like with Jimmy Butler, things are burning at all times. Sometimes it's a controlled burn and it's good. Sometimes it's a little out of control, but they kind of got a handle on it. But they're mostly okay with it because the results are just fine. You know, this just blew me away. Guess how old Sean Kingston is? That song feels like it came out 20 years ago. Guess how old Sean Kingston is?
I mean, he's either really old or not old at all. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the wrong why I'm asking, yeah.
I don't know, isn't he like 30?
He's 31, yeah. That's crazy. I would have penciled him to be like 40 by now. But congrats to Sean Kingston for reaching success, I guess, at like age 17. Good for him. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you got one last song for me, Katie?
I do have one last song. It's a hit.
Lay it on me.
This House is on Fire by AC/DC from the underrated album Flick of the Switch. Also underrated album art, I have to say.
Oh, okay. Boy. Well, I don't know if I've heard a lot of AC/DC. They kind of all run together, if I'm being totally honest. But
no.
Just kind of reading the lyrics here. I know that's not correct. I know there's different themes to all of them. What's the sort of general takeaway of the song here, Katie? I'm reading the lyrics. I'm not really pulling the meaning just out the top of my head.
It's like an appreciative burn. I feel like it's a desirous song because he's singing about a woman.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I got you here. So appreciative burn, you know, happy that the burning is going on, infatuated by the burning. Can this be me watching the NBA right now?
No, that's a cop.
Okay, fine. I'll say, you know, obviously the Phoenix Suns are in a bit of a tough situation with Chris Paul potentially being out for an indefinite amount of time here. But I would say that I'm going to say the Suns here because they're watching the rest of the playoffs burn right now, watching the potential contenders kind of fall off, suffer injury, all this stuff, you know, maybe get eliminated prematurely. And they're kind of sitting there waiting. They've already escaped the gauntlet of the second round. They're watching the league burn around them and thinking, huh, our chances are probably pretty freaking good right now. And so, yeah, I'll go the Phoenix Suns, appreciative of the burning, even though part of the burning is also hit their own house, but they probably have a fire extinguisher on hand that can take care of that. Is that a good read?
Yeah, I think that's a good read. I also think they really want to win.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's very, very good point. Katie, we've reached the end of This League is on Fire edition of Name That Tune / Team. I'm glad we didn't have any repeat songs. Glad we came with some bangers. Very, very happy with how that went. That's going to do it. Again, go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/abasketball2h's. That is the place to be to support us. It's the best way to support us. Also, thank you, of course, to producer Dylan for playing those sick tracks and always making us sound great. And everybody else involved with Space Monkey Media who let us do this fun, silly little podcast. That's going to do it. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you again next week with another episode of Basketball.